Micah chapter 5 and verses 2 to 5. And we're just going to, for a few minutes, consider these verses. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. I'd like to read the verses again to you. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a Christmas Day service, and it's been asked, what presents did you get in the morning? I don't know if I did that last year. I remember being in many services like that in the past, and people would respond. It's not an easy thing to do in one sense, because I remember when I was a youngster, one might say, oh, I had a Scarelectric. Some of you might not know what a Scarelectric is. Or another, a large present. And maybe those from families who couldn't afford bigger presents, those children felt embarrassed and maybe even felt a little bit down and maybe felt that they were missing out. And when they went back to school and their friends told all the big presents they had, it was difficult for them to say something because they didn't have much. And so it's not always easy, is it? And at times of Christmas, there are sometimes, particularly amongst the young, comparisons. What did you get? What did you get? What did you get? And for some, it's hard to respond. For others, on Christmas Day, they do feel overlooked, not because of presents, but because of family. Maybe they feel that the family hasn't given due consideration, not spent the time that they ought to have spent going off somewhere else and not meeting up on Christmas Day or Boxing Day or another day during the holidays. Some feel neglected by friends, don't they? And for some, Christmas time isn't an easy time. Well, the wonderful thing is that God never overlooks his children. God is a gracious God who loves his children, and he has given the very best. He has given the most wonderful present of all. He has given his own precious Son. And if we have the Lord Jesus, we have everything this morning. And the wonderful thing is that God is not a God of a showy people. He's not a God of the elite. God isn't a God of people who have something special about them. God is a God of the ordinary. God is the God of the little people, the small people, sometimes the despised people, the common people. You see, when we read in the Old Testament, in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, that God chose Bethlehem, that was purposeful. You see, Bethlehem wasn't the city of our God. It wasn't Jerusalem, Mount Zion, which was the joy of the whole earth. It wasn't Mount Zion that God chose. God chose little Bethlehem. It wasn't a great city. There'd be no wonderful conquests there. There weren't many numbers. It wasn't a large city. If we compared it today, we might say, well, God hasn't chosen London, but he's chosen Pencoid. Or God hasn't chosen the great city of Manchester with all those people there, but he's chosen maybe, I don't know, Bridgend or Clantrisant. We read in this verse, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me a ruler in Israel. And that was a prophecy, wasn't it? Many hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, that Bethlehem had been chosen by God, that little place would be the place where the Saviour was born. So let's consider these verses. Now, think of Bethlehem. Bethlehem did have people there mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures who we remember. Jacob and Rachel. Well, Rachel, she died there at Bethlehem. And she died giving birth to her son. And she said this, call my son Benoni, son of my sorrow. As she was giving birth, she was in tremendous pain. Maybe she knew she was going to die. And she said, call him Benoni, son of my sorrow. Or Jacob, he didn't call him that. Jacob called him Benjamin, meaning son of my right hand. And isn't that prophetic? God would send his son, the son of his right hand, to Bethlehem. And then there was Naomi, a similar situation. She was in sorrow, but then there was joy. It was a time of sorrow. Benoni, son of my sorrow. But then, no, this is Benjamin, the precious one, son of my right hand. And Naomi, well, we know the story. She lived in Bethlehem. She had to go away due to famine. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She was bereaved. She came back empty-handed, and she said to people, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. That was her experience. But when she came back to Bethlehem, it was harvest time, and God turned the situation around. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, was blessed by God. She married Boaz, and she was tremendously blessed. Though she was a Moabitess, though she was a foreigner, she came into the line of Jesus Christ. You see, they would have a son. And their son, well, he would be the grandfather of King David. And Jesus came in the line of King David. She bore Obed. Obed bore Jesse. Jesse bore David. And through King David, the Messiah would come. And so their little Bethlehem, there's a lady saying, call me bitter. But actually, God's hand was upon her for great blessing. And her daughter-in-law was to be one in the line of the Messiah. And so we could go on. We could mention other situations. But let's just think of King David. Who was he? Well, he was from Bethlehem, wasn't he? And he was just a young shepherd boy. Nothing more, nothing less than a little shepherd boy. That's all he was. He was the youngest in his family. We know in the Jewish family, the firstborn was the most important. And the youngest, well, the youngest was the youngest. But God chose David. And David became a great king in Israel, a mighty king in Israel. And God gave amazing and wonderful promises to him. We read this in 2 Samuel Chapter 7, the Lord says to David this, I will set up your seed after you, one who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish a throne of his kingdom forever. God said 300 years before Micah is prophesying, he said at the time of Judges that from David, from his seed, one would come, the Messiah, and God would set up his throne, and his throne would be an everlasting throne, and he would have an everlasting kingdom. If you ever doubt the veracity, the truth of the Bible, if you ever doubt the truth of the virgin birth, well, you only need to look at the Old Testament and look at all these amazing prophecies, prophecies that were written hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ, and each one were fulfilled. God is a faithful God, a true God, a covenant-keeping God. And it began, didn't it, in little Bethlehem. Out of you, Bethlehem, shall come one who will be ruler in Israel. Now we read this, don't we, here in these verses, that the Lord Jesus came just at the right time. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Verse 3. Israel had been given up in one sense for 400 years. There'd been no prophet in the land. Nobody was in one sense expecting that he would come because it had been a barren time. And yet in God's time, she who was with child gave birth to the Messiah. A decree went out A decree went out from Caesar Augustus in the time of Quirinius, who was governor of Syria, that everybody should go to their birth city and they should register. Well, God had set the exact time. Mary was heavily pregnant, and she went with Joseph to register. Imagine if that decree had come, let's say, just 2 months later. Well, what would have happened? It would have meant that the baby wouldn't have been born in Bethlehem. The baby would have been born in Nazareth. And if that decree had come earlier, well, again, they would have gone too soon to Bethlehem, and they may well have returned already to Nazareth. But it was just at the right time. The king's heart is in the Lord's hands, and he moved. The governor of Syria, the Caesar Augustus, the empire, the emperor over the whole Roman Empire, to make that decree. And just at the right time, Mary went to Bethlehem and the baby was born. And we read that he would become a ruler in Israel, and some would say, well, did he ever rule over Israel? Wasn't it the opposite? Wasn't it the fact that they beat him and whipped him and spat on him and crucified him? Wasn't it the fact that he was no ruler in Israel whatsoever? What does it mean that out of Bethlehem would come a ruler in Israel? Well, Jesus was a ruler, a perfect ruler. He was setting up an invisible kingdom and already had many followers who'd been born again by the Spirit of God, and their lives had been changed upside down, and they come into the kingdom of God. He was setting up his eternal kingdom, and scripture was being fulfilled. He was ruling over his people. Now this morning, we consider the birth of Jesus. We remember that he came from heaven. And we remember that he was born in weakness. There he was as a little baby, very vulnerable. There he was in his mother's lap. There he was being put into an animal feeding trough and then lifted out and held in his mother's arms. Something so tiny in the world's eyes, something so seemingly insignificant in the world's eyes, a little baby, and there in a little stable. And yet out of that place would come greatness. The Saviour of the world had been born. He had been born to save men and women, boys and girls, from their sins. What about you this morning? If God chose such an ordinary place for the Lord Jesus to be born, Bethlehem, and in such humble circumstances, will he despise your heart? You may feel that you're little. You may feel that you're nobody. You may feel that you're not somebody very important. But could it be that he will be born in your heart? That's the God we have. God comes to the little people, not the proud people, not the people who are self-sufficient, not the people that think that they're something, not the people who live for self, but God comes to the poor in heart, the humble in heart, those who want him, those who love him, those who want him more than anything else in this world. God comes to them, those who recognize that they're sinners. They don't think that they're better than anybody else. They feel that they're terrible sinners. They know that they're guilty, but God comes to them, the broken people, the people who've messed up, and he changes them. Are you one of those this morning? Will he despise your heart? Will you not open your heart to the Lord Jesus this morning? Will you not come to him? Will he not be born in your heart today? In Isaiah 11, verse 1, we read this: therefore shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up out of roots. What is this stem and these roots and this stump, as it were? Well, it seems lifeless. It seems dead. And yet from Jesse, remember Jesse, the father of David, would come life, would come the branches. The Messiah would come. And he would bring fruitfulness to this world. You may feel that you have a deadness in your heart. You may feel cut off from God. You may feel that you have no spiritual life, no relationship with God. You may feel like that. And you are like that if you're not one of the Lord's children. But God can bring life from the stump. God can change you. God can work in you and bring spiritual life. The whole message of Christmas is tremendous. It's saying that out of something small and insignificant came greatness, a ruler in Israel. And it should be an encouragement to every single Christian. Every Christian who feels small and insignificant and with little power and little influence. It should remind you that God is pleased to use little people. He always does that. You look at the Bible. Insignificant people. You see, the power doesn't reside in us. It resides in him. And he doesn't give his people a spirit of timidity or of fear, but he gives his people a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And you may feel very small, but if God is with you, that's all that matters. So we've seen the root, haven't we? The root is something small and tiny, but life comes. But then also there's the return. You see, in verse 3, we read this. Therefore he shall give them up. Israel have been given up. Then the Messiah will come until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And people did start to turn back to God, back to his word, back to the covenant. The shepherds were the first. It's lovely, isn't it? It wasn't the wise men who came first. They came afterwards. It was the poor, simple shepherds who came to worship the Saviour. And when Jesus ministered and when he chose his disciples, who was amongst them? Tax collector, simple fishermen. And they were returning to the Lord. And there were prostitutes. And there were all sorts and varied types of sinners. And they were returning to the Lord, to the covenant, to the truth. What about you? Have you returned to God? Or are you still the prodigal? Are you still a long way off from God? You still living a life for yourself where God stands with open arms. God receives all who come to him. Have you come back to God? Maybe this Christmas time will be the time that you come back to God, that you return to him. Follow the shepherds. Go with them. And find in Jesus your all in all. And then we read this in verse 4, and this is tremendous words. Here we see a Saviour reigning, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. We have a gentle shepherd who has a gentle reign, and he stands amongst his flock, amongst his people, and he feeds them. Maybe you feel like one of those little lambs, very vulnerable. Maybe you don't know much direction in your life. Maybe you're feeling spiritually hungry. We know God stands amongst his children, those who know him, and he feeds his flock with his word. He strengthens them and he lifts them up. See, he cares for his people. Sometimes we can be very confused. Things happen in life and we don't understand what's happening to us. But the Saviour stands with us. He's a shepherd who cares for his sheep and he feeds his people. And we read also that he's a majestic one. He comes in the name of his Father, in the majestic name of the Father, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. Isn't that tremendous? We may feel very unworthy to bear his name. You see, the Lord Jesus, he stands alongside us and he's a royal saviour. He comes in his Father's name to us, and he comes to bless his people. And he will reign, and his reign will be extensive. We sing, don't we, in the carol, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus does rule this world. He rules the world with his truth. He rules it with his grace. He is a king, and his kingdom is everlasting. We read here at the end of verse 2, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And his kingdom will have no end. And the Lord Jesus throughout the world today is being worshipped. His name shall be great upon the earth. Jesus shall come again. He shall judge the living and the dead. And he will reign with his people forever and forever. And Christmas time is a time to remember that he came into this world to save people, to set up his eternal kingdom. Are you part of his kingdom? Are you one of his subjects? Or on that last day, will he say to you, I never knew you? And you have to acknowledge it. He never knew you. You never knew him. And he'll say, depart from me into everlasting fire because you rejected him. Or will it be on that last day that you hear that welcome? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord and you reign with him forever. So this Christmas time, remember God is the God of little people, of humble people, of simple people, people who simply trust in the Lord Jesus because they want him more than anything in life. And remember that those little people, they will one day reign with Christ forever and ever.